Welcome to Changemaker with founder of Gypsy Tea and social entrepreneur Zina Muzika.
This new podcast is to help you embrace change and experience amazing people and entrepreneurs. We're going to be sharing secrets, habits, and change-making abilities with you so that you can apply them to your life and make a life of your dreams.
This is Changemaker with Zina Muzika.
Welcome to Changemaker. I'm your host, Zina Muzika. Today, we are going to talk about creativity and a heart of generosity with Satya. Satya is the designer of Satya Jewelry. After 30 years of intensive yoga training in the Bahamas, Satya was given her spiritual name, Satya. She was unsure of the word's meaning, but soon learned that it was truth. That evening, she had the dream to start making jewelry of all truths and donate to children throughout the world. She immediately called Beth, her best friend, to share her idea for starting a business. Beth had recently come back from a sabbatical in Thailand and fell instantly in love with the idea. Now, 10 years later, Satya and Beth are still designing jewelry that is beautiful, meaningful, and inspiring. The Satya Foundation is a 501c3 organization that has raised over $1 million for children's groups throughout the world. Welcome to Changemaker, Satya.
Thank you.
So I've been wearing your jewelry for as long as you've been in business. I discovered it in a little boutique in Ojai, and I've always thought, you know, the woman behind this is something special because, you know, right now I'm wearing angel light and this is like a peacock feather inspiration.
And it looks beautiful on you.
Thank you. And
you wear it well.
My girlfriend Jess Meharry made these earrings which go perfectly with your necklace. And so, yes. So the thing that struck me most is when I started researching you, I heard about this incredible, you know, nonprofit that you've started. So tell me, we're going to talk about the creative process, but I want to talk a little bit about how you came to your vision of helping children and how that has progressed over the years.
Well, I believe it or not, my background is in social work and teaching, so I have a couple of degrees in education and social work, but a huge family background in creative people. Every one of my family members is an artist. My dad had a very strong gene pool, so didn't know where I was going to personally go with that, but I guess jewelry was it. So it was a later, I found out my talents a little later in life, but the whole idea was to design the jewelry of truth and then to donate a percentage of all the sales. I had a real struggle. A dear mentor of mine, I actually took a hiatus from social work for about 2 years. I thought it was going to be only 3 months. And I was struggling because after 3 months, the woman I was working for, it was a jewelry company, and I was really enjoying what I was doing. And I says, ooh, she just offered me this amazing job opportunity and making more money than I would ever make as a social worker. And a mentor said, Satya, because of who you are, you will always do social work. Enjoy what you do. Mm-hmm. And it was this freeing moment in my life. I said, really? What a thought. So I accepted the job, and that's where I met Beth. She and I worked with this other company for a couple years, and then Satya was founded after I did a yoga teacher training in the Bahamas for a month. Thinking I was going to go back to social work, and that was my struggle.
Yeah.
And then to give that gift and figure out, wow, I can actually have a company, and then I could be a lot more effective with money.
Absolutely.
Because you working as a social worker, I was always so frustrated because my love and my focus was always children and giving back, because I think they will change the world.
Absolutely.
We've made a mess, and so when I was working in the business for a little while, I'm like, wow, there's great margins. There's a lot of money to be had, you know. So to weave the creative side to me into the entrepreneur and philanthropic work was a dream. I feel so blessed. I thank God every day.
Oh, it's great.
I get to do everything I love.
Well, I did the same thing with the tea company. As I decided I wanted to end poverty for tea workers, and the only way to do that really was through business. And so I think, you know, you probably share my opinion that business is the most powerful force for good in the world if it's used for good.
Absolutely. I love your story.
Thank you.
It's like you're
well,
so,
we're having a mutual love fest.
We just met and I'm like, I know you.
I know, absolutely. So I do want to talk about, so when you had this, you started out and you're at the very beginnings. And did you go out and get financing? How did you start the business?
This is the magic. I believe that when you start anything and it comes from your heart, I think the universe opens up every door you need. And the night I had that dream, that powerful dream, I did call Beth the next day. I said, quit your job. I got this idea. We have to do this. And we were incorporated within 1 week. And we showed a profit the first year. And our accountants were mad at us. Like, you're not supposed to. I was like, but we don't know, you know. But we started, there's a couple of parts of the company. There's a nonprofit. There's the Satya Jewelry that we slowly started. But we also designed for private label companies.
Oh.
So Anthropology, you know, some of the, and they put their label on it. And I had I actually helped launch Banana Republic's jewelry line.
Oh, great.
So we had a little fun, but we started our company with $10,000 each.
Oh.
And we were in my little one-bedroom apartment in the West Village for the first 4 months. Then I found a little tiny basement office on West 4th Street. And you know, we were so fearless. I think one of the things, yoga. I'm a big believer in yoga and power of breath and meditation. And I tapped into that fearlessness that I think is inside of all of us. And the vision was so clear, and I was so motivated to make it happen that it was effortless. Everything we did, it worked, and it was kind of crazy and fun. And I mean, it's been a magic. I always say I've been on this magic carpet ride. And I never know what the next day is going to bring. But it's, you know, we have our challenges. You know, the market tanked and the business has changed so much over the years. But I'm still determined more than ever to give back. I'm on the board of a lot of nonprofits now. And I design jewelry to give back. And I that's been a really fun part of what I do. So I've worked with some of those bigger celebrities for Haiti.
Yeah.
We've built homes there. Me and Patricia Arquette teamed up. And Courtney Cox.
Great. And you have a jewelry line with Deepak Chopra.
We just launched that for another
exciting
charity.
Well, so. I get your daily emails, and I always open them. They're one of the few. I probably get 25 to 30 list emails, and I always open yours, and there's an energy, there's an authenticity, and Satya means truth. And it's funny, when I found out my name means truth in being or authenticity, I in other languages, I thought, you know, this is something that I have to always be, and it's my natural instinct. But talk about, you know, a lot of people do things for the wrong reasons. Yeah. You know, they do it for the money or they do it for this. And you've given over $1 million away, which is a lot of money. And especially in a place like, you know, Sri Lanka, it's only $240 a year for a kid to go to school. So you've made a major impact. Talk about how that has grown over the years and some of the projects you've given to that you're most excited about.
And like I said, you know, working with celebrities, I always love, because I feel like they have a power that nobody else has. They draw a crowd. I have the power and blessings of making beautiful jewelry, and I love teaming up with that energy. We raised probably $400,000 with Courtney Arquette for the EB Foundation, which affects children's skin. It's a horrible birth disease. Patricia and I think we built 25 homes in Haiti with one necklace we designed.
Ugh.
And she got on, you know, The View, and we, you know, our website crashed three times.
My gosh,
and it was, you know, so that gives me a buzz. Like, to see that magic happen and work with somebody and, you know, really make a difference. So, you know, I those have been fun. I have a few schools in India that I visit every year. I'm actually going at the end of the month of February, and I'll go see Manjeshri Orphanage. I'll go see Ramona's Garden, and then I also serve this beautiful group of, they're called Rishi Kumars, on this beautiful ashram, and they're little boys, orphan boys, that, you know, need everything in the world. They have no parents, so they need schooling and clothing, and so we fund all of that. So a percentage of all our sales off the top goes right into the nonprofit, goes into our 501c.
Right.
So throughout the year, as people need, you know, we usually do our donations in the beginning of the year and send them out, and, you know, if we have opportunities in the middle, you know, I'm always looking for new opportunities.
Yeah.
But I try and stay focused. We like to work with children's organizations and moms or kids.
Yeah.
So that's our focus. There's a lot of work to be done.
It's endless. And when I first realized how much work there had to be done, you know, going to India and seeing what I saw, it was very overwhelming.
Absolutely.
And I'll never forget, I'm trying to think of the quote. I'll never forget it, but I can't remember the quote about, you know, just lighting one candle. If you can't, you can't light the world, you know, light the one candle. And how, you know, can you tell me a story of one child that you've touched in particular that you could tell us the story of how your funding has helped his life or her life?
Sure. Well, I get these emails from the school in India. Ramona's Garden is some place that we've been donating for a while. It's this beautiful orphanage right on the Mother Ganga in India, in Rishikesh. And the woman who started it is from Boulder, Colorado. And she basically decided, this is my mission to save the children of India. And she rescues them off the streets of Calcutta. And now they just get dropped off at the, the gate of her orphanage, and it's beautiful. She has an organic garden. She has a restaurant that serves only organic food that's picked and made, and the kids learn all these beautiful traits of how to, and there's a school there. But the first girl that we started funding is in medical school. And she writes, they write letters to us just thanking them, and I'll go and visit, and we'll all gather together, and we'll do yoga on the Ganga, and we'll share stories. I teach them mala making.
I have to come with you sometime.
You should.
I haven't been back to India in almost a year. Yeah, it's.
I try and go at least once a year. I like to see the kids, and that's just one of so many. But to, you know, that
to
was her, that was the first
school.
Daughter, and every one of these children. Because I always ask them, "What are you going to do?" Because there's a few in college now. We've been 10 years going. And they come and they meet me and they say, I say, what are you studying? And they all said, I want to be a social worker. I'm going to go back and help my brothers and sisters. So there's nothing but I want to give back. I want to go back home to where I had an opportunity and they want to help. It's so divine. It's not like, I want to go to America and make money.
Not at all.
Nothing. There's none of that, not one. And I've asked, so we've interviewed so many of these children over the years. They all want to come back and be with their brothers and sisters. It's divine.
It's amazing.
So it just, that fuels me.
Yeah.
That's like, we need more of these.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And business can indeed change the world. And I believe, too, in the power of the feminine in business.
Yeah, we need a lot more of us.
We do. And when I started the tea company and I went to Sri Lanka and India the first time to see the workers, I realized that when we gave money to the women, they were building infrastructure. And the guys, it wasn't, there's nothing wrong with men. You know, I want to just make that clear. I'm married to a man and I have a son and you have two sons. So we do.
We honor them.
Yes, we honor them. And it's time for us to step in and be given the reins, because we are building more infrastructure. We are thinking about business in this way. And now with all the social entrepreneurs coming in, this new generation of entrepreneurs, you know, like the Tom's One for One program, and I'm doing it with my new imprint at, you know, at Simon & Schuster. We're creating social responsibility. I think that we are at the precipice of really seeing what business is capable of. And I think that, you know, you are such a role model for that.
And I think our country, I always say to so many of my friends and people who ask me about my business, we're so privileged in this country.
We are so fortunate.
And there's almost, I feel like we have an obligation to look outside. You know, we have opportunities like nobody does in the world. And I've traveled extensively. And, you know, and I try and tell my children that, too. You know, we're so blessed.
Yeah.
One of my sons offered up an iPad to one of the kids. Mm-hmm. I said, they need a lot more than that.
Yeah,
but, you know,
but
they're happy for a
start.
It's a good start.
Yeah, my son, we started a little program called the Robin Hood Laptop Project, where we collect a bunch of used laptops, refurbish them, and then deliver them. And Sage got to deliver them. And you know, he was stunned.
Yeah.
And, you know, what the kids wanted to talk to him about, the kids in the schools there wanted to talk to him about is, what are you learning in math right now? What are you, you're in grade 4, so what kind of, are you doing algebra yet? Like, they were really curious about what educational opportunities are you getting? And I loved having that conversation, so taking the boys at one point, you know, 6 is a little young.
Yeah.
But I think Sage was 10.
10's a perfect age.
Yeah, 10's a good age.
Yeah.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Changemaker with Zina Muzyka.
So tell me about your creative process, because honestly, I
buy your jewelry all the time. Like, I always find, and I layer it, and I love this peacock necklace I'm wearing.
I'll tell you where that came from. This is fun, magical. So we go to we have a factory in Jaipur, in India.
Oh, beautiful.
And, you know, that's the city of pink.
Yes.
And they're all palaces. All the hotels are palaces. So I was staying at one of the Taj hotels.
And they're my favorite.
Beautiful. And I was out one morning. I get up early, and I always do a yoga practice. So I roll out my mat, and I'm right by the gym, but I'm outside because it's a beautiful morning. And all of a sudden, I hear this loud screeching sound, and I'm with my designer who helps me. And she grew up in a very unusual circumstance where she goes, "It's a peacock." And I was like, "What?
Yeah.
That's a peacock."
They sound like...
So on the wall of the Taj is these one, the females are running after the males.
The females are
running
ugly.
Yeah,
the males
are gorgeous. But I look up and there's a tree full of peacocks. And I said, wow. And I said, I got to figure that. This is too beautiful. And I said, we got to work something about this. So I started looking, what is a peacock? It actually represents the purest form of beauty. And it's actually, the peacock is used in so many different religions as a symbol of beauty, hope, renewal, mm-hmm. you know, feathers shed. So we started drawing and manifesting, and we put that collection right out.
Yeah.
The same thing, I travel with her or by myself. There's always, I like to travel, that's where I get inspired.
Me too.
India is one of the most. I used to go to Thailand quite a bit. We have factories there as well.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, in India, I do a lot of yoga, and there's a lot of spiritual opportunities for
Absolutely.
Me to, like, but we've, you know, our serpent collection was designed
I have the earrings.
But the wild thing is, we always have these ideas, and then we found, that whole collection was designed, and then we found out it was the year of the snake. So much is intuitively part of, you know, like, I tune in, and I get inspired by many things out in the world, but... there always has to be, we have three words in our design room. Is it beautiful? It has to be beautiful. Is it meaningful?
Uh-huh.
And is it inspiring? So if it doesn't hit all three of those, it's not going to make it.
So I teach a purpose course because I notice a lot of people don't realize what their purpose is. And so but I've always felt that your jewelry has a purpose because you're explaining, you know, this is for beauty. This is for, you know, Aquarius, this is for, you know, which I love the meaning behind it. And so you, by having that purpose simplified and put into the design room, everything vibrates to that. Don't you find that?
Yes. And I, you know, I started doing a lot of Reiki before I did my teacher training. So I like to believe God said, Satya, you're going to do a lot more than just Reiki one at a time. Let's put it into a jewelry collection and really amp it up.
Well, Reiki
jewelry.
So there
is an energy. There is an energy around the designs.
Absolutely.
And I say this in the most humble way because I feel so blessed. And I always say, I'm just the delivery girl of this.
Yeah,
really?
Absolutely.
I didn't go to school for it. I don't have a background. It was long times ago that I must have done this because it's very effortless.
Uh-huh.
And there's not a day where I don't say, I am so grateful that I get to do this work.
Yeah.
But yeah, the designs come, and it definitely, I like to, I always say, before you put our piece on, read the little tag.
Always.
Because
I say that line.
The power of the word, when you read something, it becomes real.
Absolutely. As a writer, I much embrace that. I used to spend so much time writing love into the labels on my tea. I would actually,
absolutely. Yeah. And you taste it.
Yes. Well,
it's there.
It's all imprints.
Well, I always tell my kids I'm a big cook. I'm Italian by background.
And thin.
And yes, I love
so
to
you
eat.
Must be
I'm a foodie.
Healthy food.
I'm a foodie, but I like to keep it. Thank God genetics took care of me there. But I always say, guys, I put a little extra love and a few extra hugs in that today. Do you taste them? And they're all like, yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, Satya, so tell me what it's like to work with your best friend.
Well, you know, we've been 13 years going, and this is kind of an interesting part in life. We've actually run almost separate parts of the business for the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
So she primarily is working private label, and I've been running the brand. But we still, you know, we don't converse on a lot of things as much anymore. But I always say, Beth, it couldn't have been better.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's been a really amazing dance. And I think it's a very hard thing. Partnerships are tough, you know, on
they
any
are
level.
Tough. Yeah.
You know, relationships and business partnerships. And people used to always say, how do you do it? So we've been asked many, many times over the 13 years.
Yeah.
what it's like, how do you do it? And I think it was always just, again, there's a little miracle in there. There's a little divine intervention.
Yeah.
We've kind of branched out on our own a little bit more, so we're not in the day-to-day anymore, but we still, what do you think?
But don't you think that that's actually the way to keep a successful partnership is to actually give each other space?
Yeah, any partnership.
I mean, I send my husband away all the time.
Exactly. Please.
I'm like, we've been together 11 years, and I love to travel by myself. And I know he likes to get away. And when we come back together, we have things to talk about. And I think in a business, too, you have to allow for space.
Yeah.
And you have to allow the other person to fulfill their own destiny and their
Absolutely.
Own way of going about things.
Yeah, you both have to find your voice. Because we started, you know, so many years ago, and you both, you grow, you change, in any relationship. So I think we're both finding our voices in a little different way. And I think my big goal over the next couple of years is to really work on the philanthropic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always there, but I'd like to see that become almost full-time for me.
Yeah.
I love the design.
Definitely.
You know, but
well, if the company is running itself, you know, you're designing it, or you have designers that think and feel like you. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, because I'm a big believer in training people to know everything I know and more, and then set them free.
Yes.
I tried to be a micromanager, but I found that when I was building the business, micromanaging was because I was scared.
Yeah.
I was fearful of
and
something.
And you don't trust people. And
it's like, well, I can do it better, so I'll just do it. You know.
What sign are you?
I'm Sagittarius.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Ooh, you're a fiery Sag.
I have six planet Sag. But my rising sign is Capricorn. It's my saving
grace. I'm a Capricorn.
Grace. Yeah. That's my business girl, you know. So really quickly, you design the jewelry, and you have other designers working with you. And do you keep a sketchbook? Like,
we have a design calendar.
Okay.
We have a sketchbook. I meet with my designer a few times throughout the day. If I have an idea in the morning, sometimes I wake up, I'm like, I have vision. Or I see somebody walking down the street with like an earring. I'm like, ooh, I can make that into something really great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so spontaneous, so much of it. But we meet constantly. And I don't really draw beautifully, but I have visions.
Yeah.
And you can explain it well. Well, I have a designer now that works with me. Her name is Rohini. And she was in a little prayer that was answered.
Aww.
We work so well together. There's no ego, because you work creatively. Sometimes there's a lot of ego, and I don't have that.
I don't either.
And it really gets in the way of success. If
Definitely.
I could give one tip in anything about business, and this is why I think Beth and I, my partner, have gotten along so well. Our egos were always, and that's women.
I was about to say.
You know, put a bunch of men in a room.
Yeah.
I got to be right.
Yeah.
Women converse.
Yeah.
We laugh.
We collaborate so
well.
We go
talk about a little personal stuff, and we get back to business.
Yeah. Well, we're kind of like the goddesses, you know, the Hindu goddesses with the multi arms.
Yes.
I mean, I really do
Lakshmi.
Think, yeah. Well, and I was married in a Lakshmi temple in Sri Lanka. When you come to my house, I'm sure someday you'll visit me. It's like a big Lakshmi party.
Okay, I think we have the same decor. I know we do. Oh my God.
So let's give a few tips for our listeners on, you know, coming up with, you know, I always say money doesn't come to you, you make money.
Hmm.
But you can make money out of thin air.
Yeah.
You can make money out of lemons.
Yeah.
you can so what are a couple of your secrets to success?
I think you've got to be fearless. And women, if we're all women listening right now, and even men, we're so intuitive. And that intuition has been shut down from all the negative things we've been layered on from childhood to school, and by the time you're ready to go in life, you're like scared, and you don't have that internal dialogue that says no, you can't. I really shut that down. I scream some no.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, sitting, getting quiet, tapping into where and what you want to do in your life, listen to that little voice. That little voice is so spot on, and
always.
I believe when you get fearless, the universe, God, whatever you believe in out there, will help and open up every door you need.
Agreed.
And bring it back to the heart. Do it with heart.
Mm-hmm.
I always share, you know, if you don't want to, I want a business to make money so I can get rich. No. I want a business to make money so that I can be generous, even if it's just with your family and children.
Absolutely.
And friends. But you can't do it just for your own. It will never work.
Yeah.
It'll work, but you'll be miserable.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Changemaker with Zina Muzyka.
Well, I have in my book, the theme of my book, Life by the Cup, is with a mission to serve, you cannot fail.
I love that name.
Oh, well, thank you, sweetheart. Well, I'll send over, I'll messenger over a copy. Sorry.
I love that.
Ran over from the office. But, you know, with a mission to serve, you cannot fail.
Exactly.
And I believe that because I've seen when I discovered fair trade and I made my company about ending poverty for tea workers, every door opened because it was no longer about me because nobody needed another business. Nobody needed another tea company. No,
right.
Nobody needs there. We don't need any more businesses in the world. We need businesses that make a difference.
Exactly.
And it's our time to heal and change the world through business. And so what about you're a single mom with twin boys, 6 and a half.
Yes.
And, you know, there's a lot of people that say, oh, it's a bad word, balance. I don't want to make any word bad because I think balance is internal. I think you sit, you meditate, you do yoga. I do the same thing. I think that's balance. If I get a 10-minute meditation in when sometimes, you know, I get 2 hours, that to me is the balance. I have an internal balance that I keep, and I'm like you. I say no to my fear. Fear starts to show up. No. Thank you very much, but no. And you can befriend your fear to learn from it so that you know what strategies to bring forth. But tell me a little bit about what it's like to be a mom and a creator and a woman who out on a mission to help these children. Tell me a few of your, or one or two of your secrets for women that are trying to do all the same things.
And I think, you know, this is such a question, and I've been asked it many times. Mm-hmm. How do you do it, Satya? And I'm blessed to have some very powerful spiritual teachers in my life, and they're personal friends, and they call me for help. Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting, how do we do it? How do we do it? And, you know, I'm going to go back to that phrase, it takes a village.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do it alone. And, you know, I'm blessed with a mother-in-law that lives next door to me.
Great.
Grandma's on board. I have a slew of nannies, my sisters. I bring in help. And when people ask me now, because I used to say, no, I don't need any help. And I've learned to really put my hand out because I'm a giver. And I also found out when you ask, especially when you are somebody who puts their hand out to others, people want to help you.
They jump in.
When I say yes now, people are like, really? They get so much joy out of being a part of the village. It takes a village, and I always encourage women, especially women, because we're trying to balance the children, the husbands. Mm-hmm. You know, we want our careers. Some of us have to support our families.
Yeah.
You know, surround yourself with a community. Surround yourself with friends. Even whether it's a church, whether it's a yoga center, whether it's a Buddhist meditation, some place that you can go and have a community.
Absolutely. I always say there's no such thing as self-made.
No.
And it's such a myth that we have to learn from.
The I word does not exist.
No. And I've got a chapter, I'm going back to my book because I feel like you are saying all the same things in my book, but with a slightly different, with a Satya accent. And so I'm like, oh my God, we are soul sisters. And the second chapter is how to ask for help. And I do these keynotes all over the United States with like Fortune 50s. And I say, how many of you have an easy time asking for help? There will be a room of 100 and one person will raise their hand. And I say, your success, your ability to succeed is directly related to your ability to ask for help.
Yeah.
And that's a muscle that we need to start flexing and learn, because people are honored when we ask for help as long as it's specific.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, oh my God, I'm going crazy, I need help.
Yes.
And it's like, okay, where can I help you?
Yes.
You know, so specific help, I need help with my kids at 4 o'clock today. I need help designing this, you know, by blah, blah, blah. So great. So asking for help,
surrounding self with community and friends, and it does. It takes a village. And women right now, I think we are, there is such an imbalance in the world. We know that, right? And it's part of this yin and yang. The women, we need to get that women energy balance. Not that we don't need men. Men are so important.
No, but the feminine,
we've been put down on the bottom. And
absolutely.
It's off.
Absolutely.
You know, things are falling apart. So I'm hoping men also will engage and support us like we've supported them for all centuries and centuries and
absolutely.
Lifetimes. I mean,
instead
it's
of
time,
acting or feeling threatened.
Yeah, like let us work with you.
Yeah.
We need it to save the world. I mean, really.
We do. Well, women don't, you know, my next book is all about, it's a spiritual handbook for women at work, and it's really just focused on giving women the tools to see the bigger picture, because, you know, I don't know about you, but when I was building my business and I was a single mom and Sage, you know, was in and out of the hospital all the time, like, I would go into survival mode, and I didn't remember to meditate. I didn't take care of my body. I forgot to drink water, you know, to drink water during the day, like, you know, we get into this place where we can become very single-minded.
Yes.
And the person who suffers is we don't self-care. Yeah. And often when I tell women, at least do a simple ritual daily. Give yourself a cup of tea, watch it steep, breathe it in,
light
sip
a
it
candle.
Slowly. Yeah, light a candle, thank, you know, say five things you're grateful for. Whatever it is, these simple rituals will actually bring us back to the point, which I believe is spirit.
Yeah.
And that internal voice you talk about.
You know, and it's so true, because when my kids came, I said, oh, twins, I can handle it. As long as I get my yoga in. As long as I get my 5 little minutes of breathing in the morning.
Yeah.
And that didn't happen. It didn't happen for a long time. So one of the things I started doing is like, boys, we're not getting out of bed until we do 5 things we're grateful for.
Yeah.
You first. And we all, the boys, now they know.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for my toys. I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for daddy. And, you know, so not only am I getting it now, I'm actually infusing it into the family. So, you know, it's not every day. Trust me.
No.
But, you know, it's those little things that do make a difference.
Yeah. You know, there's a series of books. There's one called On's Anger. And they're these Buddhist-based books for children. And I've been reading them with Mia. And they've been so helpful.
Yeah.
She knows to do the deep breathing when she's angry. You know, we're meditating almost every day for, God, 1 minute. Like, I say, okay, I'm setting
Great.
The timer, and then she's like one eye open looking at me, waiting for me, and I open one eye, and she goes, you're looking at me, and I'm like, I'm looking at you, you're looking at me. So cute, but it really is teaching them from the get-go. So final words for our listeners. You're such an inspiration, and you've built a very successful business and of beauty. You really have instilled beauty into the world and made such a difference. So one final thing, what would Satya's motto be for women who are out there wanting to start a business or make a difference? Or both?
Yeah, I think I said it. I think tap into your intuitive self. Don't doubt yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Become the fearless warrior that you are,
the
fearless goddess. I think we have a lot to do. Women, it's our time.
It's
and
time.
I think the universe right now will support us because it's so needed. It's so needed globally. I encourage every woman who wants to start a business to do it. Because we
Me
have
too.
To, we're the change right now.
We are.
So, and any tips needed, I'm available.
Okay. Awesome. So for more information about Satya and Satya's incredible jewelry, which, you know, if you ever see a picture of me, I'm wearing it, is Satya, SatyaJewelry.com. And she's got a beautiful Instagram, great Facebook. I actually won a necklace and gave it to my mom.
Yes.
Yeah, and one of your things. I'd never
That's
on
so
Pinterest.
Happy.
I never
awesome.
Won anything.
That's awesome.
I know. It was like 2 or 3 years ago, and it was this little citrine necklace. And I thought, oh my God, this is such a
stone
amazing.
Of radiance.
Yes, absolutely. I love citrine. So, and this is Changemaker with Zena Muzyka. And you can find me on Twitter at Mistress of Tea. Facebook at ZHENA. Thank you so, so much for joining us today and listening to Satya. And I highly recommend going to her site and looking at the different jewelry and finding a piece that really becomes a beacon for you of inspiration to be set on your journey and to know that you are a fearless goddess, even if you're a guy. Thank you so much.